Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and before we really get into the episode, I just want to take a second and thank you all for getting me to 1,000 plays on this podcast. It really means a lot. Here's to the next 1,000 plays. Thank you. So today's review, we're going to be getting into Zack Snyder's Justice League, so let's get to it. So it's been a few weeks since I've seen the Snyder Cut, and it's given me a little bit of time to think about it and just kind of stew it over. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes drama that went on with this film, and I'm not going to get too into it, just enough to be able to kind of give you some context as to why this exists. So during the filming and the making of the 2017 theatrical version of the Justice League, Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide, and he needed to take some time off from the filming, obviously, to take care of his family and be with his family. And Warner Brothers kind of used that as an excuse to kind of push him out of the movie and bring Joss Whedon in. And that was a really horrible thing for Warner Brothers to do, to kind of exploit that tragedy in his life to kind of do something that they thought was going to be better for the studio in general, to have Joss Whedon come in and make it a more lighthearted, shorter movie. That was just a really horrible way to go about that, and it's really terrible that that happened to Zack Snyder. So after that film came out, and it was mixed reviews at best. A lot of people thought it wasn't very good at all. Me personally, I never even finished it. I got about 45 minutes, an hour in, and I was like, this is just so horrible. Like, it's just not worth my time to finish it. So there became a rumor out there that there was a Snyder cut, that Zack Snyder had a version of his film that he wanted to put out. And that wasn't necessarily true. He had his original vision of being able to do what he wanted with the movie, but there was no finished Snyder cut, finished film that Warner Brothers was just choosing not to release. Just recently, within the past couple years, Warner Brothers needed some content for their new streaming service, HBO Max, so they, from the barrage of Twitter fans and people just begging to get the Snyder Cut out there and to get Zack Snyder to finally complete his vision of this film, Warner Brothers gave Zack Snyder $70 million. They gave in to that Twitter mob and they gave Zack Snyder $70 million to be able to finish his version of the film that he never had the chance to finish. So this is that cut. That's kind of just a very brief, there's so much more I could get into, but I just, for the purposes of this review, I'm not going to get into that. But that's basically just the bare bones of what happened for this film to actually, come to be in existence. And like I said, despite all that, behind the scenes drama, it was actually better than the theatrical cut. Like I said, I actually finished this one. I never actually finished I still haven't, all these, 4 years later after it, I still have never finished the theatrical cut of Justice League. But I actually finished, and, this one's 4 hours long, so it's much longer. So I think it's quite an achievement for them to be able to hold my attention, at least for 4 hours, as opposed to me cutting out halfway through a two-hour movie before. So it's better in that sense that I actually finished it this time. But besides that, there's definitely some good things about this film. The action is extremely exciting. I really liked all the action sequences. They kept me engaged. It was fun to see, the Flash and Cyborg and Batman, Superman, everybody, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, everybody just in these big these big battles, the way that it was filmed, the way that it was, you know, set up, it was very, definitely very exciting and very fun. It was entertaining. Overall, I will just say that this film entertained me. You know, I'm going to get into some more details, but the point of a lot of films, or every film really, is to be entertained, whether that be entertained through excitement, through fear, through sadness, through teaching me a lesson. It's all about, for me, going to the movies is all about escapism and being entertained and being made to feel certain emotions. And if a film does that, then I'm gonna come away with a generally positive outlook or a generally positive opinion of a film. You know, depending on whether or not it entertained me. In this film, you know, it was entertaining. The action was entertaining. You know, there were some funny moments. So, you know, you got to give it that. The score in the soundtrack from Junkie XL was excellent. I think it fit this film perfectly. Was not overbearing at some points, you know, with some, I'm just going to call them out, Christopher Nolan and Hans Zimmer, a lot of their scores are just overbearing and just overpowerful, and you can't even hear the characters speaking, so, you know, and it doesn't fit. It's extremely frustrating when he does that. But with this film, with Junkie XL, this score is definitely something I would even just listen to on its own. You know, like if I'm just doing chores around the house, or if I'm, you know, want to throw something on while I'm, you know, writing or doing some homework assignment, I would definitely listen to this score. I'd add that into the rotation of, you know, soundtrack scores that I listen to when I just need to have something playing in the background. So it's definitely something like that. That's very good. I liked Ben Affleck as Batman and Jeremy Irons as Alfred. You know, they definitely play their characters well. It's kind of unfortunate that we never really got to have a standalone Ben Affleck Batman movie. I would have loved to see him do, you know, something more in the vein of like a Dark Knight, Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, you know, something like that, where he is the center of the film. I know that was a big influence for his character in this whole Snyderverse, but we never really got to see him do anything on his own. You know, fight one of his own villains, have a whole story centered around just him. You know, it's unfortunate that we never really got to see that. The cyborg stuff definitely made me like his character infinitely more than in the 2017 version. I was surprised at how much was cut out of his character from the 2017 version to this version. Because in here, you know, it definitely gives him, his character, more emotion. It gives Ray Fisher, the actor that plays Cyborg, it gives him more to do as an actor, more to play with, instead of just being this brooding, like, half robot, you know, kind of thing. But he, you know, it really gives you a sense of who he is and his emotions and his motivations in the Snyder Cut. But I think, unfortunately, that is also a good place to kind of transition into the negatives. One of my negatives is that Cyborg, because there's so much in there and it does make me care about him more, he is essentially the main character of this film. He has more screen time than any of the other superheroes. There's more time devoted to him than any of the other superheroes. And his, him in general and his story are really the fulcrum of this movie. And to me, that really just shows that they should have just done a Cyborg movie before they did Justice League. It's just another reason, you know, people are always going to compare DC to Marvel. And the Marvel blueprint is, you know, you have all these individual movies and then you have the team-up movie. But Justice League and, you know, Warner Brothers and DC, they had just been playing catch-up. They wanted to start off with their big team-up movie and then do kind of spin-offs off of that, individual movies off of that. And I think at this point, you know, it's been long enough that they've shown that that model doesn't work. And the fact that there was so much Cyborg stuff in here and that it was so interesting, and the fact that there was just so much of it, just the quantity of it, shows to me that Zack Snyder should have just made a Cyborg movie. I would love to watch a Zack Snyder Cyborg movie. Based on what was in this movie, in the Snyder Cut, Justice League, there's basically a Cyborg movie within this movie. And I just wish they would have just done it separate, done all these characters separate. You know, Superman got his own movie, and then Superman 2 kind of turned into Justice League prequel, and then they made Justice League. So I just wish they would have done a Superman movie, a Batman movie, you know, Wonder Woman's movies. That, you know, say what you will about 1984, they've been successful and people like them. Especially the first one, it was highly critically acclaimed. I liked the first Wonder Woman movie, say for the last half hour or so, where it just kind of devolved into, it just kind of threw storytelling to the wind and just turned into a video game cutscene there at the end. But the first, you know, two thirds to three quarters of that movie were excellent. So I just wish they would have done it like Marvel did it. You know, have a Superman movie, have a Batman movie, have a Flash movie, Cyborg movie, Aquaman. You know, Aquaman's had his own standalone movie. It would have been more exciting and more, I think, groundbreaking and influential on the DC universe going forward had they just done it the way that Marvel did it. But they just got greedy and they just didn't want to wait that long for a to have a Justice League movie. It probably would have just been coming out just now, for the first time, and not, you know, the second Snyder Cut version kind at this time, had they done it the other way around. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, we get what we get. I wish we could have had just a standalone Cyborg movie, but, you know, that's just not the case. But going back to Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League here, the story is largely unchanged. You know, it's essentially the same. It's more fleshed out because, you know, it wasn't going to be released in theaters. They knew it was going to be released directly onto HBO Max, so they didn't have to worry about spreading out the show times and making their box office back, you know, by not having enough showings. You know, you can show a 2-hour movie twice as many times as you can show a 4-hour movie, so you make essentially twice as much money, you know, theoretically. You can't release a 4-hour movie in theaters and expect to make you just don't have as many opportunities to make as much money as if you did with a 2-hour movie. So this movie is just too long. You know, it's 4 hours. It's a lot to ask of an audience to sit through 4 hours of a movie without, you know, taking breaks. I know it was cut up into chapters, but that to me just says they should have just done it as like a mini series. Do like 6 45-minute episodes of a mini series, you know, release the first 3 1 week and then the second 3 the next week, and do it over a two-week period that, you know, builds up more excitement instead of having to drop all the 4 hours all at once. But I don't know. I'm not in the marketing department at Warner Brothers. But like I said, the story is essentially unchanged. It's still just about mother boxes and sky beams. I was putting on my Twitter while I was watching it that there were like 6 sky beams in the first 30 minutes. It was just ridiculous. It's just, you know, Steppenwolf just blasting up into the sky on these sky beams. And, you know, just a pet peeve of mine, that every superhero movie, every action movie, whatever, every sci-fi movie has to have a sky beam or end on a sky beam. And it's just, it's lazy. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see any more sky beams. That just immediately took me out of the movie within the first 30 minutes. You know, over time, you know, over the next 3.5 hours, they were able to kind of bring me back in a little bit and keep me entertained. But there at the beginning, it was just sky beam after sky beam, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, oh my gosh, when is this going to end? Knock it off with the sky beams. It's getting annoying. You know, and that, I think, stuff like that and You know, the fact that the action scenes were good, it just really, to me, it shows that Zack Snyder is a visual, he should work in the visual effects department or something. He's like an excellent visual director. All of his films look excellent. You know, he should be a cinematographer. I don't know. Something other than a director or a screenwriter, because he is not very good at telling stories. He's very, very good at telling, at showing you interesting things and showing you things that are cool, showing you things that get you excited. But that's, you know, that's junk food. That's not, you know, a good meal of a movie. It's, you know, it's drive-through McDonald's. You know, it tastes good. It's not good for you. You know, it's a fancy car that has no motor in it. You know, it looks good on the outside, but when you pop the hood, there's nothing in there. You know, and that's all of Zack Snyder's movies to me. That's all that they are to me. You know, there's just a lot of other stuff that the more that I think about it, that just really makes me not like this movie. I like it at first, you know, like I said, it's junk food. You like it because it tastes good, but then later you hate yourself because now you're having diarrhea or something. I don't know. But it's like, it's exciting to look at, but the more you think about it, the more it kind of just falls apart. And that really is shown in a lot of the characters. You know, like that whole Wonder Woman scene in the museum or whatever it was, with all those kids on that field trip. And then those terrorists come in for some unknown, vague reason, you know, to kind of just be terrorists. In the moment, to kind of blow up the museum or whatever, and she kills all of them. She throws them against the wall. You see their heads explode against the wall. I don't need that. I don't need to see that. There's no reason to show that. To show Wonder Woman literally killing people by throwing their heads against the wall and having them explode, and then she ends up blowing up the museum anyway on her own. You know, they have this big whole epic sequence where she, you know, flies out of the roof and she throws the bomb up in the air and explodes in the air and everyone's safe. And then she's about to go get shot and then she blows up the museum anyway, you know, by doing that little cross arm thing and stopping the bullet or whatever, you know? And it's just like, okay, that whole entire scene that you just showed me was pointless. Made no sense. There was no need for that because she ended up blowing it up anyway. So it just made me mad. That's another thing that just took me out of the film. I was like, okay, you're showing me this superhero that cares about history. You know, you show her cleaning that statue or whatever, you know, later, that she's someone who, you know, respects the past and, you know, the ancestors or whatever. And then she goes and blows up a museum. Like, that goes completely against her character. And it just made me mad. It's just silly that they would even add that in there. Well, because it looked cool? Okay. Yeah, you know, miss me on that one. And then another one is that it's kind of superficial and kind of ticky-tacky, but the more you think about it, the more it really just frustrates me too, that every time Aquaman goes into the water, he takes off his shirt and, like, throws it in the water, or he throws it, you know, back onto the beach and, you know, like he's drinking that bottle of whiskey, he downs it and then he just throws it off the dock. So he's littering in the ocean. You know, Aquaman is supposed to be the protector. He's the king of Atlantis. He's the protector of the ocean. He's on the side of the fish and the marine people, the marine wildlife or whatever. And he's literally contributing to the litter, all this trash that gets thrown into the water. It just goes against his character, who his character is supposed to be. I know it seems so small and so little that you might think I'm being nitpicky, but, you know, that's your opinion and this is mine, that I think being a protector of the ocean is an essential characteristic of who Aquaman is as a character. So you can't show him littering in the ocean. It just doesn't make any sense. The fact that they kind of shoehorn in Martian Manhunter and Joker, it feels exactly that, like a shoehorned in. It's forced. You didn't need those characters in this movie. You know, I know Martian Manhunter is a big part of the Justice League in the comics and even in the 90s animated cartoon. He's a big character in that. But he's in two scenes. He undercuts the emotionality of that scene between Martha Kent and Lois Lane, because you find out that it was Martian Manhunter pretending to be Martha Kent. So he wasn't needed in that scene. And then he's not seen throughout the whole rest of the movie until right at the very end in the epilogue or whatever, where he comes over to Batman. He's like, oh, if you ever need me, I'll be around. I was like, where were you, you know, a half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, when they were throwing down with Steppenwolf, you know? They could have used you then, but you weren't there. Where were you there, you know? It's just completely ridiculous that that Snyder felt like he had to put Martian Manhunter in there. He didn't. He added nothing to the story. He didn't, besides the fact that, you know, his design, his costume, his look, I loved it. It was cool. But he didn't need to be in there. He added nothing to the story. It was just a waste of time to have him in there. And, you know, to the point of that scene between Ma Kent and Lois Lane, he was a detriment to the story. He undercut all the emotionality of that film, of that moment that they had between the two of them, because it turns out that it wasn't actually Martha Kent having that emotional moment talking about Superman with Lois Lane. So I just didn't think that he needed to be in there. And Jared Leto's Joker didn't need to be in there either. That whole last sequence, that whole last epilogue, unnecessary. It felt like a little bit of like the Return of the King, where this movie just never ends. It's just another needless scene after a needless scene, you know, ending. Is this going to be the last scene? No. Is this going to be the last scene? No. Is this going to be the last scene? No. You know, just over and over again. It just drove me insane. I don't know. I wanted to see that scene with the Joker, and I kept waiting for it to happen and waiting for it to happen. It was the last scene in the movie. Like, that's the scene that you choose to end on. I loved, this goes back to my earlier point, I would have loved to seen a Ben Affleck standalone movie with a Jared Leto Joker as the villain. I would have loved to have seen that. But, you know, in this universe, maybe an alternate universe, but in this universe, we get, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, on a tacked-on scene at the end of a Justice League movie that is, you know, essentially useless. So, that's unfortunate. And it's just another, you know, another problem that I just had with the, you know, with the movie. And this last thing I'm going to say before I finish, because I feel like I'm rambling, is the fact, you know, despite the fact that the movie and the story was telling me that there are big stakes, you know, the fate of the universe, fate of the world, whatever, every living creature in the universe or whatever, it still wasn't very unclear to me the motivations of the villains in this film. I didn't feel the stakes. The movie kept telling me that there were stakes and that there was a lot on the line, but I just didn't feel it, you know? I knew they were all going to survive. I knew they were going to win. I knew they were going to beat Steppenwolf, and, you know, I just knew that. And that's just a problem that I have with superhero comic book movies now in general anyway, is because I know these studios are making franchises. They're making multiple films, and then, you know, team-up films and crossovers and these giant, you know, it's like a TV show. You don't think that the main character of the show is going to die at the end of every episode of a TV show. You know, there's just, you know how it's going to end. You know they're going to survive. You know they're going to team up to fight another villain another day so the studio can make more money with a different movie, so they can do crossovers with different characters. And there's just... it's just a problem I have with these kind of movies in general, but specifically in this film, as, you know, especially since the fact that Warner Brothers has said that they're not going to do any more Snyderverse movies, they're not going to do any more Justice League movies, that they're done working with Zack Snyder, you know, this and that. Snyder had the opportunity to change things around and actually make some real stakes and really kill off some people and keep them dead. And I think that would have been incredible if they would have killed off you know, one of the main characters, a couple of the main characters. Alfred, if they would have killed off Alfred, I don't know, he's expendable. Sure, why not? They're not going to do any more movies anyway, so you don't have to worry about setting anything up. So you might as well kill a couple of them to raise the stakes a little bit. You know, kill someone important at the 2.5 hour mark so that the rest, the other hour and a half of the film, there's like, oh, like, they really did that. Like, that's crazy. You know, props to them for taking that chance. You know, but they just didn't do it. Nobody does it. Nobody's brave enough to do it, or the studios just won't let them do it. Because they're just worried about making the next one. They're too focused on what they're doing next and not what they're doing now. And they're too focused on the possibilities of what might be instead of just focusing on what is and making it good. But that's just a tangent. That's just my rant about, you know, superhero movies in general. And I just thought that the Snyder Cut was a good opportunity to kind of vent those feelings. But like I said, ultimately this film is just way too long. So it's got some good moments. It's got some things that really frustrate me. But overall, like I said, it is entertaining. So if you have 4 hours to kill, if you want to waste an afternoon, definitely check out, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Do it in chunks. Do it in, you know, hour chunks, 2 hour chunks. You know, just kick back, you know, have some popcorn and just relax for an hour, fall asleep to it. You know, that's what I would do with it. I'm probably not going to watch it ever again. It's because it's too long and it's too big of a commitment. But, I definitely thought it was entertaining. So those are my overall thoughts. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thanks again for getting me to 1,000 plays on Anchor. It really means a lot. Check back here for new episodes. Don't forget to subscribe. Check me out on Twitter at SMG Reviews, on my film blog, 1001filmblog.wordpress.com. And thank you so much again, and I will catch you next time.